Hey guys, welcome to the Frokers Podcast, where we talk about things that you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
Hey guys, it's Noah, NoahDog54.
And I'm John, or G-Man Stevens.
And I am your host once again, Ethan, otherwise known as FlabZixy Gaming. So, how have you guys been? You know, we gotta do some small talk. It's what we do around here. So, you guys been doing anything? You blow any orphanages up? You know, that kind of stuff?
Well, real quick before we get to the blowing up of orphanages, didn't get a puppy, dishwasher broke, job still sucks, and blew up an orphanage with 20 kids in it.
Sounds good as my 50, you know. 20 is pretty good.
Yeah, 20 is decent, I think.
I mean, for me, it's I've been on spring break this week, so I've just been kind of relaxing, putting off homework that is due today, and I'm like, oh man, I really gotta do that, and I still haven't.
All right, that's fair, I guess. As for me, I've been working all week. I basically work full time now, so I believe a while ago I was complaining that I wasn't getting enough hours, and so I would have needed to get a second part time job, which that would have been a whole headache to do. But now I have full time hours, and I have a key to the restaurant. I have a key to the castle, which basically means I'm better than everyone else. That's exactly what that means, and no one can disprove that. Was that no? Was that doubt? Was I hearing a doubtful sure over there?
No. Oh, that was a very positive sure.
I'm smelling something in the air right now. I'm smelling something. It smells like minus points.
No. It's very positive, but I promise.
Sure. Anyway, but yeah, so I've been working all week. I did, however, finally manage to finish a book this year, so my goal is still 12. I'm keeping it at 12. I was going to increase to, like, maybe 13 or 14 since last year's was 12, but based on how this year's been going so far, that's not going to happen. So 12 is probably where I'm going to keep it. I finally did finish one of my books, though. It was actually a Far Cry 5 book. They made a novelization of Far Cry 5. It takes place a week before the events of the game, and I had got it for Christmas originally, and... I was super excited to read it, and it was a pretty good book. I mean, there's a couple parts that I wish they had expanded on, and John's gonna just... Yeah, I forgot what episode this was exactly, but we're just gonna go right back into the not Ubisoft sponsor, but maybe. Because there's a part in the book, like, Faith Seed is my favorite character in the game, purely because she has so much mystery surrounding her. Like, Jacob's just, like, he's a veteran, and so, like, he has some trauma built in there, and you kind of see a piece of that throughout the game. John, the non-bald guy, kind of just, like, he's evil for the sake of being evil. Like, he's kind of just a psychopath. He's a loose cannon, I guess is how you'd call him. And, the book focuses around John a lot. Like, he's kind of, like, the main antagonist, outside of the father, who's also kind of... The father's actually more of just a omnipotent presence in the book. He's not really... I think the characters only encounter him, like, twice. They encounter John in Eden's Gate, obviously, a bunch. And so, to me, it was interesting that they chose to focus on John so much, when John, I felt like, was the character that had the least backstory to me, anyway. And maybe that's why they chose him, to add sort of a backstory to him, a little bit. But even still, I just wish because they mentioned Jacob a couple times. And, they kind of mentioned his, like, if you play the game, you know what I'm about to say. They mentioned the judges, they mentioned, him training people up there, and all that. So that made a bit of sense. But Faith Seed only got, like, one line, and they didn't even call her by her name, they just said there's a lady out east, growing plants or whatever. Which is in reference to the Bliss flowers, or whatever. And the Bliss has a presence in the game, or in the book, but, I don't know, there's a couple pieces I wish they would have taken a bit in a different direction, but... Overall, it's still a good book. If you like the Far Cry 5 game, you'll probably enjoy at least the majority of the book. There's two main characters. The one main character, his name is Will. He's a custom character. You'll never see him in the game. The other one is Mary May, who you do see in the game. So you get a little bit of backstory about her. But yeah, overall, a pretty good book, and hopefully I can reach 12, because that'd be great. Because I would like to reach 12, but I would need to speed it up here, because 12... Just based on that, is like, that's a book a month, which is not hard to do. If you have time, it's not hard to do. But I've just been so toppled with work recently, and also this year just started like garbage. Like, this was literally, 2024 was bad for Noah, and 2025 was bad for me. It's like, it was not in the sense that I lost someone, but in the sense that it was just a god-awful start to this year. So yeah, it's just like it's so because of that, and because now my work schedule's gotten more busy, it's been hard for me to find time to read, which is unfortunate because I like reading. But still, I did manage to finish the book yesterday, so did enjoy that. I'm now moving back. I'm moving back to Tales of the Pizza Plex. I'm gonna finish Tales of the Pizza Plex. Then I got Bendy and the Ink Machine books. There's three of them. I gotta read, and then I got. I mentioned this in the Christmas episode, the one after the Christmas episode. That I got 10 different Minecraft books. There's a Minecraft collection that's endorsed by Mojang. There's a ton of different Minecraft series out there made by custom authors, where they take the game's kind of idea and build upon that. But there's only 10 that are endorsed by Mojang themselves, and I have those 10 books. So it's like, there's a Minecraft Dungeons one, the other ones are based on the actual game, I think. But I'm gonna move on to those eventually. But, yeah, overall, pretty mundane week, I guess, but did accomplish some things here and there. And a little treat for you guys in the future, and for John to know in the future, I've been working on some game shows behind the scenes. So the Dead Silence game show, which by the way has been my most outperforming game show to date so far, which I'm super glad of, and because of that reason, I'm making a part two. So it's not called Dead Silence 2 because it'd be a stupid name. But it's called something else. You'll see that eventually. I don't know when you'll see that, but at some point. So Dead Silence is getting another, is getting a part two. I'm making a part two to What Do You Do? Which was, The Priest. The Priest is coming back, guys. So I've been working on part two. That's almost done, actually. So that's going to come probably sooner than the other one will. Because remember, the Dead Silence game show was literally a game. It was like it was kind of like a thing of it, almost like a text-based adventure, because these guys couldn't see anything, obviously, outside of the, I showed them a chart of the demons and their weaknesses or whatever. But outside of that, they couldn't see anything. So it was more like a visual novel almost, right? But it still was a game at the end of the day, because there was like inventory system, there was an if statement, there was all these different things that like a normal game has. This next one that I'm doing, I've decided to, this is gonna make my life a living hell, but I've kind of doubled the amount of stuff that's in it. So instead of just like, oh yeah, you guys just gotta hide from the demons, there's a bit more stuff now. So it's gonna be interesting when we get to it, but, and again, once again, John and Noah will be working together in that, so it's gonna be another game show where they're not competing for something. It's gonna be, they're gonna be working together. Yeah, like I said, mundane week, but there's been some sprinkles of really cool stuff in there. So, but John, how far are you on your book journey there, bud?
Well, I have read one book this year. Making my way through some of the other ones, but just, like you said, I have so much like been so busy with school this semester that I'm like, this week I was like, oh, thank goodness it's a week off that I don't have to wake up every morning at 8. The drive to school. But like, it's just, I have some audiobooks I'm listening to. So I'm listening to Jurassic Park, which is interesting. I'm interested to see how it differs from the movie, because I remember hearing people be like, oh, the movies look slightly different. I was surprised because like the book is almost like a lot of, it's almost like a documentary, where it's like, this is what happened, and these are the different people that are involved, and it's very different than what I expected.
I just want to say, I'm actually beating John on books. Okay. I've read three.
Pretty good.
Name all three.
Okay, Better Man by Isaac Butterfield, The Subtle Art to Not Giving a Fuck, and Everything is Fucked.
Yeah, two of those seem like definitely books I see you reading. Although, here's the thing, though. What's the page length of those books? Because reading a book, you can count, like, reading a children's book as reading a book, but that's, like, 10 pages.
So, technically, I didn't read them. They were audiobooks.
Well, you can still answer the question of how many pages there are.
Yeah, how long was the audiobook?
Oh, it was, like, 5 hours each book.
That's not bad.
Either way, just saying.
I think it'd be like probably 300, 400 page book max, which isn't huge, but it's not small either.
Well, the latest one that I listened to was like 5 hours and 57 minutes, so like stick up.
Now, was that the length of it, or did you stop and pause it every 5 minutes or something?
Oh no, I was at work, so I just listened to it for the entirety.
You're allowed to listen to it at work?
Yeah, they actually had a policy where they let us know, like, hey, we're actually going to let you guys listen to music and whatnot at work. Just, you know, do it at your workstations, not when you're walking around.
See, I can listen to music on occasion. Like, if I'm, because I work in the food industry, and I mentioned that before. But, like, because I have to listen, because there's it's more like a bell. There's like a ding that happens when the door opens. That way we get notified, like, wherever you are in the restaurant, you'll be notified that someone's entered the door. And if you're in the back of the restaurant, you can't see the door, so you kind of rely on the ding there. So if you're in the back, you really can't have music too loud, otherwise you won't be able to hear the ding. But if you're in the front and there's no one in the restaurant, then you could just play it in the front. But because there's already music playing over the speakers, which I now know Noah's pain of hearing the same damn songs repeated over and over again. Although they do have a couple, they do have a couple that I don't care hearing over and over again. They have Minecraft, the Minecraft classic song. I don't know what it's called. It's what you'll like if I played it for you, you would know what I'm talking about. But it's like the classic Minecraft one. They have Sabrina Carpenter, which you know how I feel about her. And then there's one other song I don't know the name of, but that I like hearing. So I'll have to look into what that one is. But then all the other ones are just like, oh my god, I've heard this so many damn times. I feel like I'm gonna bash my head against the wall.
Yeah, but finally, you know it.
But at least it's not Mariah Carey. We banned Mariah Carey from our restaurant. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't mean her, just her music. Like if she walks
on the front,
yeah,
no Mariah Carey.
Yeah, yeah. There's a sign that says, "No one named Mariah or Carey is allowed."
Yep.
No, I'm just playing, obviously. But yeah. So we're just gonna, if that's all we got, we're just gonna mosey right on into headlines. I don't have not one, not two, but two headlines for you guys today. So the first one I got is Undertale is literally a dollar right now. So for us it's a dollar.
Wait, for real?
Now that I think about it, when this comes out in January of next year, it won't be a dollar, but it's a dollar for us right now, and there is literally no excuse. If it was a dollar for you guys, it was a dollar back by then. So this is, what's today's day? It's March 16th, there it is. It's March 16th, and became a dollar like a couple days ago, so whatever that day was, maybe like, I think it was the 14th maybe. And it's still, it's gonna be on sale for the next, I think, one or two more days, so the sale for us is what I'm saying. But it's a dollar, and because it's a dollar, and because gamers are extremely cheap, Undertale has peaked once again since 2015, which is pretty crazy. Obviously the game's kind of maintained its stamina because of how good the game is. It's kind of maintained its stamina, kind of like a Life is Strange, like, it boomed when it first came out, obviously, when the episodes were coming out, but even still, people were playing it for the first time again. So, like, they're still consistent. Same thing with Undertale, it's been consistent all throughout time, but it's peaked once again since since 2015, which is pretty impressive. So, it's literally a dollar. If you have not played Undertale for some strange reason, then you literally have no excuse now. It is less than a McDonald's single hamburger. You heard that correctly, folks. It is less than a $2 McDonald's burger, alright? And it's like, if you do all the routes, it's like, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, because John took like 5 hours to beat Sans. So really, it's between like, if you do all the routes, it's like 10 hours to like, 25 hours would be the time if you go for everything. It depends on how long Sans takes you. If Sans takes you like 10 hours, then add 10 hours onto that time, but you get the idea.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, just for a fair reference, like, I've only played it when I played it with Ethan on stream. I have 31 hours in the game.
Yeah, okay. So.
Hey, Ethan?
No.
I was just gonna ask, can I get points if I go by Undertale right now?
No, based on how the points are working in this episode.
Oh, sure, no, okay.
But I would say, you know, being a smart individual, you probably should.
I will. After this episode, I will.
But anyway, so yeah, it's literally a dollar. It's on Steam. It's a dollar for Steam, not for anything. I should have mentioned that before. It's a dollar on Steam, yeah. Not for a dollar on, because I even checked on Nintendo Switches, just because curious. It's normal price. It's on sale on everything else, but it's not a dollar on everything else. But it's like, you don't need a good computer run Undertale. It's literally a pixelated game, so like, there's no excuse. Unless you literally don't have a computer, then I guess you can't do it. But either way, that's one of the headlines for you. Another headline is that by the time this episode goes out, the Minecraft movie has dropped. And I've kind of been talking about this, periodically. I'm very curious to see how it's gonna pan out. Because I'm skeptical, I'm worried, I'm half excited. Like, there's a mix of emotions when it comes to it, because Minecraft's been this legacy of a game. And then some people don't even call it a game anymore, because it's more of like a platform now, because you can create mods, you can create maps to put in the marketplace, which earns you money. It's like, it's not just a game anymore. And so it's been this legacy of a platform this for like 10 plus years, and now it's finally getting a movie adaptation. I'm very worried about how this could turn out, because if it sucks, then we're just kind of reinforcing the idea that video game movies don't work. But if it succeeds and it does really well, then that's the Mario Bros. Movie that proved them wrong. It's the Minecraft movie that proved them wrong. It's the FNAF movie that proved them wrong now. So now Hollywood's gotta take this seriously and be like, oh, video game adaptations actually do work if they're done correctly. Cause the FNAF movie was a hit amongst fans. The Super Mario movie was a hit amongst fans. So I'm very worried about Minecraft, cause the initial kind of thing was like, oh, I don't know if I'm, like, even the fans of the game were like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this. And that's worrying some to me. So, we'll see. At this time, when it's already been out for you guys for a little bit, because this goes out April 10th or somewhere around that region. So for you guys, it's been out for a little bit already. But for me and for the three of us, it hasn't. Like I said, it's March 16th. So hopefully it's good. I don't know. I won't see it probably the first day it comes out. I'll have to try my best to avoid spoilers. I don't think there'd really be like a huge kind of climax at the end where if I see it, I'll be spoiled. Like, it's, oh no, they defeated the piglins. What? Shocking. I can't believe it. Because, like, it's Minecraft. There's not like a, there shouldn't be like an underlying evil unless, like, Steve becomes evil, which that'd be kind of funny, actually. I feel like they'd go up in points for me if they did that. Or like, Steve was here Brian the entire time, and that's how he has all this knowledge and power and stuff. That'd be kind of cool. Hey, if they go in that direction, I'll love it. But I honestly don't see them doing that. So yeah, we'll see. And then the FNAF movie 2 is coming out, which that's why I'm worried, because if Minecraft bombs, for example, it's gonna make me worried about the FNAF 2 movie, because it's like, it's gonna make me worried that people are gonna be like, oh, I don't know about this one either. So, I don't know. Because I think video game movies can work if they're done correctly. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because there's been plenty of games that have been adapted into movies that were, like, really shitty. Like, I know the Assassin's Creed movie wasn't very good, from what I hear. A lot of people weren't happy with Uncharted. I liked it, but, you know. But, you know, like you said, like, these movies that people are like, unsure if they're good, then it will show people like these can be done. But like, if even the Sonic trilogy, you know, when it first was being announced and the first trailer came out, they were like, oh, this looks shit because the designs were really weird. And then they fixed it and then it was amazing. And I saw all three movies and I liked all three movies.
Well, I was gonna say, after they did the redesign, people liked it, because I know right now Sonic 3 was super hype, Sonic 2 was super hype, and then after they fixed the first one, because it was hype after people saw it, because they were like, oh, they changed it, they did pretty good. So yeah, those are good, right? So like, we have all these things going for us, and so the last thing I want is for a huge thing like Minecraft, because everyone knows Minecraft. Not everyone knows Sonic, definitely not everyone knows FNAF. So it's like, for something as big as Minecraft is, for it to flop, I'm really concerned in that direction, if it goes in that direction. Hopefully it doesn't happen though. But let's move right into the creator showcase, which actually I usually do YouTubers, and I guess they are technically on YouTube, but I'm promoting a podcast this time, because I found a podcast that recently I really like, because it combines two of my favorite things, really. Both being video games and books. So I literally primarily read video game books. Like, I've read Fazbear Frights, all 11 of them. I'm reading Tales of the Pizza Plex. I read the Far Cry one I talked about earlier. I'm going to read the Bendy ones. I don't even like Hello Neighbor, but I'm planning on reading the books at some point. So, like, I love reading books about video games. And I guess there's some books I didn't even know existed. Like, there's a Marvel Spider-Man book as well. I didn't know that existed. There's some Halo ones I didn't know existed and all that stuff. And the reason I didn't know they existed is because I recently found a podcast called The Video Game Book Club. Now The Video Game Book Club is, now there's a couple, I guess they, I don't know if these guys looked to see if this name was taken already, because there's a couple podcast titles called Video Game Book Club. I noticed, though, one thing when I looked at their competition, the video game book club ones, they're not actually book clubs. They're literally just like talking about video games. It's like, well, why are you calling it a book club then if you're just talking about video games? It has nothing to do with books. But Video Game Book Club by Savvy Gaming Network specifically is the people I'm talking about. They actually read a book every month, and then they release a podcast episode kind of detailing what the book's about, the plot, and like all that sort of stuff, and then they talk about, is it good, should you read it, all that fun stuff. What a typical book club does. So for example, some of the episodes they've done is they've read the Alien Isolation book, they've read a Watch Dogs one, which I didn't even know that was the name, a Borderlands book, Into the Pit, they've read as well. They've read the Marvel Spider-Man book, which I didn't even know that was a thing. There's a Tom Clancy's Division, which I don't play that game or anything, but that's a thing that exists, I guess. Five Nights at Freddy's movie thing. There's an Elden Ring book, which I didn't know that was a thing, and I definitely gotta get that at some point. There is a Ratchet and Clank one, Lord of Souls, or the thing is, it's Elder Scrolls, so that's a Skyrim book. Let's see, there's the Tomb Raider one, which I knew that kind of existed. Let's see, there's been Ending Machine ones that I talked about, that's one that I plan on reading at some point. There's a Resident Evil book as well, there's a God of War book as well, which I didn't know existed, and I already ordered that on Amazon, because I'm like, there's a God of War book, give me it, because I didn't know that was a thing.
I have that one.
You have that one?
Yeah, God of War, Lord of Legends, I think it's called.
Yeah, God of War Novelization is what it's called. It's based on the first game.
Oh, no, so there's multiple, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, there's the one that I'm looking at. It's a novelization of the first game. So it's directly tied into the first game. And from their review, it looks like they liked it, especially if you played the game, is what they're saying. So there's that. There's Mass Effect ones. I haven't played Mass Effect, but it still might be interesting. Resident Evil, I mentioned before. BioShock, which I also purchased on Amazon already. So, like, there's just so many books that they've read. They actually read the Far Cry book I talked about earlier, which I didn't even know, because the Far Cry book is actually not that popular, because not many people don't even know that Ubisoft makes books. You might not even have known going into this episode that they did that. It's an excellent podcast. I've actually followed them. I can't, unfortunately, I was going to put this in the 5.0 initiative if I can make it work. They're not popular enough, so they don't show up on... when I try to put them in the recommended show section on our own show, it doesn't show up. It shows their competitors because they're a bit more popular, but it doesn't show these guys specifically, which kind of sucks. So unfortunately, we can't officially recommend them on that, but we can personally recommend them on here, and that's what I plan to do. So at the very least, I can do that. And maybe once they get bigger later on, I can do that. And I definitely will plan on it because this is one of my favorite. I just found them like 3 days ago, and it's already one of my favorite podcasts. So. Definitely go check them out. Like, Video Game Book Club by Savvy Gaming Network is the people I'm talking about. So don't go, like, there's a couple other video game book clubs that aren't even book clubs. They're just talking about video games. But whatever. But, with that being said, gentlemen, I think it's high time. It's high noon. It's actually not. But I think it's high time to get into today's episode. And you might have noticed a book theme here. We talked about books at the start. I led into... the Creator Showcase that was about podcast that was about books. So you might have noticed a little theme going on here, and that's for a reason. Because we're going to be doing something fun today. I had shown this to John and Noah a long time ago, like all the way back in like October of last year. I showed them, like Noah might remember this because he was pretty excited about it at the time. I showed in the Discord channel that we're in, the podcast Discord channel. I showed them a picture, a cover of a book, and all I said was, I think I said next episode, which was definitely wrong, but I said, like, next episode, we're doing something crazier, whatever I said. I'm trying to scroll up to see if I can find it again. Here it is. I said, next time I'm the host, we're doing something crazy. That's what I said. And then in the picture was a picture of a book that says Provoker Pandemonium. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, unfortunately, these guys can't see that, but Provoker Pandemonium. You might get something off of the title. It's a book about this podcast. And so if there's a little snippet under the title, it says Behind the Scenes of Podcast Chaos and Comedy. Because obviously we're a comedy-centric podcast. That's the first tag in our podcast thing. And because it's comedy, leisure, and I think I got rid of video games because we talk about video games on occasion, but it's not the main focus. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to be reading you guys some snippets of this book, and we're going to be talking about it, and there is an underlying point system that you're not going to get to know about until at the very end. But that's what we're going to be doing today. So we're going to be reading The Proker Pandemonium, which, again, is a book about our own podcast. So it's going to be pretty insane. So there's on the back it says praises for Proker Pandemonium. So we got Audio Enthusiast Weekly, a roller coaster ride through the hilariously unpredictable world of podcasting. Ethan captures the essence of chaos and comedy in a way that will have you laughing out loud. So there's that. We got the Podcast Producers Digest. Proker Pandemonium is a masterclass in storytelling. Ethan takes readers behind the mic to unveil the captivating chaos that fuels some of the most successful comedic podcasts. An absolute must read. Then we got Broadcasting Today. Ethan has done it again, delivering a page-turner that's as informative as it is entertaining. Whether you're a seasoned podcaster or just a fan of the genre, this book is an eye-opening journey. And then the Comedy Circuit Chronicles. With wit and wisdom, Proker Pandemonium offers a unique peek into the world of podcasting production. It's a delightful blend of humor and behind-the-scenes intrigue that will resonate with anyone interested in or connecting to podcasting. So those are the things on the back. What I really am going to read is there's chapters, because of course there is, and I'm going to read you some of the chapter names, because some of these chapter names are amazing. So we got chapter one is Welcome to the Pandemonium, which makes sense, because that's actually a play on Welcome to the Provokers, which is our catchphrase, well, part of it, anyway. Chapter two is Meet the Provokers, which is not only makes sense, because that's where we describe ourselves and all that jazz, but it's also a reference to the Meet the Provokers songs that are going to be, or the project that's coming out early, hopefully this year. Because of how bad this year started, I still hope that's going to happen, but we'll see. But it's the songs that you've been hearing. I think you actually heard my song in the very last episode we just did. Finally, you finally got to hear that. But yeah, then we got chapter three, The Birth of a Podcast. So that talks about, how we started the podcast. Then we got chapter four, Bald Appearances. And it's just, it's great. So we're going to be reading a snippet from that. Chapter 5, Inappropriate Humor, A Gift or a Curse, which is obviously referencing Noah's unique humor. Chapter 6, Game Shows Gone Wild, which obviously is in reference to the game shows. Chapter 7, The Art of the Interview, which the art of the interview is in reference to The Art of Creation, which was episode like 4. But it was Noah's, I think it was one of my episode 4. It was Noah's first episode that he's ever done, and it was about talking about video games we liked or something. I forgot exactly what the topic was, but. Chapter 8, Lessons from the Dark Side, which is a reference to the, what's it called? I think it's called The Dark Side, The Evil Within, or whatever. It's not called, that's the name of the game. The Dark Side Within, or something? Whatever that episode's called, it's where we had our evil alter egos. It's referencing that. Chapter 9, Swearing Like a Sailor. You can only guess who that chapter's about. Yeah. Chapter 10, The Jokes That Almost Killed Us. Chapter 11, Behind the Mic Equipment and Setup. Chapter 12, Listener Chaos, The Comments We Always Wanted. Chapter 13, Going Viral, The Episode That Took Off. So obviously these are more like kind of general things. Then we got Chapter 14, Friendship and Fools, Recording with John and Noah. Friendship and Fools, I love that. Chapter 15, Creating Content on the Fly. That's obviously referencing a couple episodes where we just literally had to do that on the fly. Chapter 16, The Dream of Fame. Now that's called that because of John's dream. Him getting stabbed in his dream. Chapter 17, The Power of Sarcasm. We all have a bit of sarcasm, so that's just talking about all of us. Chapter 18, Lessons Learned, Mistakes, and Mishaps. Chapter 19, The Future of the Provokers. And Chapter 20, Chaotic Moments That Define Us. So we're just gonna be reading, I'm just gonna be reading some tidbits and then we're gonna be talking about it. And I'm very curious to get your guys' thoughts. So like I said, nobody can see this because I'm just reading it myself. But I'm curious to see where I should start. But what do you guys think of it so far? While I'm looking for a place to start, because I'm not going to start at the very beginning because it, from what I've read, it doesn't really get into the podcast that much until a little bit later. So let me look for that spot. But in the meantime, what do you guys think of this book so far, huh?
Chapter names are quite interesting.
Would you read this book just based off the information?
Yes. I mean, if I could buy it, yes.
John's been a little quiet over there.
Yeah, I mean, I would, for sure. Like, it sounds like it's well put together and interesting and funny. And it's about me. And you, and no.
And it's about me. I thought you were going to stop there.
So yeah, oh, maybe I'm the only person on this podcast.
Yeah. Okay, I think I did find the place to start. The thing I read that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm starting over here. So this is in chapter one. So it's called the chapter one is Welcome to the Pandemonium. So the origins of the Brokers podcast are a tale woven together with a little bit of chaos, a pinch of ridiculousness, and of course the unmistakable sound of laughter echoing from a cozy suburban garage. Yeah, we're not in a suburban garage, but you know, it's pretty funny though. It all started on a Friday night, which in the grand tradition of creative endeavors necessarily included a lot of snacks, minimal adult supervision, and an overabundance of sarcastic banter fueled by some questionable energy drinks. I almost think Noah did have an energy drink that night. You had something, because you weren't even in the call, but you talked about having something. So,
maybe.
I forgot. Maybe it was coffee or something. Either way, it was something to get you energized, because it was later into the night. I don't know what... John, do you remember what time we started that?
Probably, at late as 11.
Yeah. I was thought maybe it started at 8 and maybe ended at, 12 or something, but either way. Let's see, one faithful evening while discussing the merits of pineapple on pizza, it's a crime against humanity, just in case you're wondering, the idea for a podcast was born. And why not? We spent so much time exploring our hot takes on uncanny observations that it seemed only natural to record our absurd conversations and unleash them upon the world. After all, they say that every great podcast begins with a questionable decision and an army of, I got a page, and an army of caffeine. See, I told you Noah had coffee. What could possibly go wrong? As it turns out, everything and nothing at all. Fast forward to our first official recording section. Picture it. Three grown men holed up in a tiny garage. Again, we're not in a garage, but, you know, it's pretty great. I mean, you know, maybe Noah's in a garage. You know, he might be in a garage.
I'm not. I'm really not.
Well, you should be in a garage, damn it. Anyway, gotta keep reading. Let's see. Surrounded by ancient recording equipment that could have been used to capture the sound of dinosaurs. The honor was not lost on us as we prepared for what we believed was going to be a groundbreaking episode that would go down in the Arnolds of podcast history, right between how to sound more intelligent while whispering and maintenance tips for going bald from the expert, which is obviously referencing John and his totally bald head. So John, you should make your next you should do a podcast on your own, maintenance tips for going bald. See how that goes for you. But I'll think about it. That's right, the stage was set, the lights dimmed, and our collective enthusiasm was matched only by the overwhelming scent of stale pizza and regret. Stale pizza and regret. Yeah, you know, stale pizza and regret, man. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see. As we clicked record, really hit harder than... As we clicked record, reality hit harder than John's dreams of being a legendary bald guy. Oh, that's a great line right there. That's great.
Thank you.
As we clicked record, reality hit harder than John's dreams of being a bald guy. Oh, that's great. It's like it's Free Guy, but it's Bald Guy. That's the sequel. It stars John. This is beautiful. Okay. Let's see. Where's that? We struggled to find our rhythm amidst the chaotic laughter and overlapping jokes, and about every 20 minutes in, our session devolved in a cacophony of interruptions, miscommunications, and Noah's ever-growing collection of expletives, which, you know, I feel like is a fair comparison to make from the first season. I firmly believe there's a fine line between humor and madness, and we were having a merry dance along the edge. We quickly realized that our episodes were less about structure and more about equal part chaos, and trying to see how many times we could reference John's non-baldness before he exploded. Before he exploded. What truly made the Provokers podcast unique was our focus on real-life experiences, haunting regrets, and inappropriate humor, topics that anyone who has ever lived a single day on this planet could relate to in one way or another. Sure, we could have gone the typical route of discussing current events or politics, boring, but instead we leaned into the absurdity of our daily lives, the insane thoughts that whirled through our heads, and the unfiltered stories we'd collect from our decades-long friendship. We were essentially building a magnificently dysfunctional family, one filled with laughter, shared embarrassments, and the occasional moments of extreme self-awareness. Spoiler alert, those moments were extremely rare. As our episodes gained traction, we encountered our fair share of challenges. The technical snuffers, forgotten jokes that spiraled into unscripted comedy, and of course, the occasional betrayal by a coffee maker that decided to burn our precious caffeine. But instead of being disheartened, we embraced the chaos. We reveled in it. It was like being gluttonous for punishment, but we were also feeding off the thrill of breaking through the noise of the podcasting landscape. The more ridiculous our antics, the more our loyal listeners seem to adore us. And let me tell you, there's no greater feeling than knowing you've turned the mundane into a comedic spectacle that encourages someone's car ride to suddenly become an episode of a sitcom. Yeah, you know, I feel like if anyone were to listen to us in a car, which I haven't done personally, I've listened to music in the car, but not the podcast. I feel like it would kind of feel like you're in a TV show of some kind. Especially when, you know, like you're fighting with your brother about the snacks you have, and he just says, "You didn't lose the game, you lost your life." Stab! You know, that's it. halfway in your road trip to France, you know. But okay. We're almost at the end of the section, then I'll give you guys a chance to chime in and talk about what we were just reading. Ultimately, history will remember the Provokers podcast as the little comedy engine that could. With plenty of bumps along the way, our origins trace back to that one Friday night when a snack-fueled thought birthed an unlikely venture. One that would lead us into realms of laughter, chaos, and more ball jokes than anyone could ever count. And as I sit here reflecting on this whirlwind journey, I can't help but smile. Who would have thought that a couple of guys with a penchant for sarcasm would change the narrative of podcasting? One hilarious story at a time. So welcome aboard. This is just the beginning of one heck of a ride, and I assure you, it's going to be anything but boring. So that is the first section, and then it goes into Meet the Chaos Makers. What are we thinking about this so far?
Except for a few parts, it sounds pretty accurate. Like being in a suburban garage with ancient...
That happened.
I was going to say no. No, me and John were both simultaneously in garages when we did that episode.
Mm-hmm, yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. So I just love to help.
Yeah. I mean, ignore the part that the house I was living in at the time didn't have a garage. I was many years ago.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, yeah, but...
But John, what about you, man?
Yeah, I think it's a good, very humorous account of how it began. There was, sadly, no stale pizza on my end. It's very interesting, because I feel like we have briefly talked about we started podcasts and how that is. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I do specifically remember what I was doing that night, because I was playing God of War, and I was trying to get 100%, and I was just like going around doing the side stuff. So, yeah, that's what I was doing. I don't know why that's so vivid in my mind, but like, that's what we were doing.
Were you doing that while we were discussing the podcast, or were you doing that?
No, like... I think I got off, and then we hopped on the voice chat. I don't think I was playing it while we were talking. Okay.
I was gonna say it's pretty impressive to like come up with some podcast names while playing God of War.
But
obviously there's some inaccuracies, but that's the joy of it. It's like it's making up a story for us about how we're totally in a suburban garage, all three of us together at the same time. Exactly.
I also love the decades long friendship, and we've only known each other since middle school.
That'd be a decade, though.
Yeah.
Old hey, we're getting old. We should make an episode out of that.
We can make a religion out of that.
No, let's not make a religion out of that.
That's a Bill Wurz reference, though.
Yeah.
Damn it. Anyway. So let's see. Should I read this next part? Let's see. Because it's still chapter one. I almost think I should go into the next chapter. I should read this. I should read this, okay. Because it's talking about us. So meet the Chaos Makers. Welcome to the heart and soul of the Provokers podcast, where comedy meets chaos. Mindless musings reign supreme, and friendships are tested by the strange urge to scream at a microphone. I present to you the true chaos makers behind our delightful pandemonium. John, my fearless partner and snark, and Noah, the unpredictable wildcard who swears like a sailor on a mission to sink a ship. If there's one thing we can agree on, it's that this ragtag crew makes a perfect recipe for a podcast filled to the brim with laughter and irrelevance. Wait a minute. How dare you? Let's start with John, the bald guy who keeps us guessing whether we should actually poke fun at him or simply offer him a free wig. John, do you want a free wig, man? We can give him to you.
Yeah, I'll take a free wig. Free is free.
John is reverted for many things. His intellect, his sense of humor, and his... I gotta flip the page. And his uncanny ability to retire random trivia about virtually anything. need the population of a small town in Nebraska? He's got you covered. John, on the spot right now. But tell me, I don't know, a small town in Nebraska. Just tell me a small town in Nebraska and then proceed to tell me their population.
Oh, yeah, it was a population of Bumsville is 72.
Wow, pretty impressive. He must be right. I don't feel like I need to fact check him there. What's more impressive is his omnipresent love for literature, which is literally correct. So if there's inaccuracies about the garage, this is 100% correct. John does like books. While I'm busy daydreaming about video game worlds, John's nose is buried deep within a book on philosophy, which is probably not correct, but we'll let it slide. Because what's better than contemplating life while discussing a pancake-flavored vodka as a legit breakfast option? Pancake-flavored vodka. I don't think I've ever heard that idea. Is that actually a thing?
No, but peanut butter whiskey's a thing.
No, that's gotta hang on. There's literally...
That'd be the next best thing. Might be on the verge of greatness here.
No, here's the thing. If science is trying to figure out if Cheetos are actually chicken, they have to have come up with pancake vodka at this point. You know what I mean?
Pancake vodka
has
to be a thing.
I gotta check just for pure prosperity's sake. I think it's gotta be a thing. Pancake flavored vodka. My FBI agent's gonna be like, what the heck is this guy doing? He can't even drink! He's not even 21. Oh my god, it's a thing.
Of course it's a thing.
Blueberry pancake vodka! Why?
Blueberry?
Yeah, try that.
We can make an episode out of that. Oh my god, that's hilarious. Of course, I knew there's maple syrup vodka, but that's not exactly. But there's a blueberry pancake vodka. That's hilarious.
What if you combined the blueberry pancake vodka with the maple syrup vodka?
you just have a freaking breakfast vodka. Your wife comes downstairs, she sees you drinking, she's like, honey, what are you doing? It's so early in the morning. She's like, I'm having my breakfast. Alright, well, now that we've discovered pancake vodka is actually a thing, let's see. His humor, let's just say it swings wildly from enlightening to absolutely bizarre in the blink of an eye. It's like riding a roller coaster through an... Oh, I thought that I swear this said orphanage, and I was really about to explode. But it's a Orwellian nightmare. I don't know what that means. And you're never quite sure if you're going to emerge enlightened or simply confused. Then we have our wild man Noah, the loose cannon armed with an infinite supply of colorful language. Caution is highly advised when navigating any conversation involving Noah, as he often finds ways to sprinkle expletives as if he were trying to garnish a 5-star restaurant meal. His swearing is more than just a habit, it's an art form. I once told him he could win awards for it, but I think he'd rather take home a trophy for volume levels, the art of yelling. While Noah and I typically engage in our semi-intelligent banter, John often sits at the sidelines giving us the I can't believe these morons are my friends. Oh, that's brilliant. Yes, that's beautiful.
That's fucking great.
That is beautiful. Yep, that is
amazing.
I can't believe these morons. That's a great line. I can totally see John saying that too.
What? Wait a whole year to read this?
I can't. It's not a year. What are you talking about? It's October of last year. That's not even close to a year. I can't believe these morons are my friends. And you know what? It's laced with affection, even if it's publicly painful for him to witness. One might ask how such different personalities manage to collaborate on a podcast without prompting a full-scale intervention. The answer, my friends, lies in our magical blend of chaos and colorful discourse. When we gather around the mic, it's an unspoken agreement. All bets are off. We acknowledge that the best ideas can spring from absurdity and that an air of insanity can inspire genuine creativity. Combining our respective quirks offers a rich tapestry for content. Sure, one minute we might be engaging in a deep conversation about personal growth, and the next we could be attempting to decide if eating socks is an acceptable breakfast choice. I'd say it's less acceptable than breakfast vodka, but you know.
Yeah, I would say if unless, you're eating socks for breakfast.
Unless you dip the socks in the breakfast vodka, and then you got sock-flavored breakfast blueberry pancake vodka. Genius! You know, we're going places here.
Come around. I definitely agree.
We're going places, gentlemen.
No.
Let's see. But don't take these personalities at face value. Disguised beneath the chaos is an underlying loyalty between us. Through countless hours of recording and sharing stories, we have formed an unbreakable bond, one solidified through laughter, inside jokes, and a veneer of mild insanity. If there's one thing we are committed to, it's nurturing our friendship through the relatable absurdities of life. Wouldn't you know it, what seems like mayhem is quite embarrassingly just three friends navigating adulthood while armed with only a microphone and the audacity to share their experience with strangers. So there you have it, the chaotic geniuses behind the Provokers podcast. John, the tranquil genius balancing the absurdity, and Noah, the unpredictable firecracker ready to set social media norms ablaze. Together, our knack for nonsense acts as fuel for our creative engine as we lift the veil on the ridiculousness of life. It's a beautiful combination that enables us to engage, inspire, and most importantly, entertain. We might be a bit kooky, but at least we're good at it. Bring on the shenanigans, we're just getting started. So that is once again another section. So ending it there for now. I thought that was great. I'm glad I chose to read that one.
Very funny, very creative. Loved some of the quotes from that.
I can't believe these morons are my friends. That was a great line.
That's probably accurate for John too. I don't know if it actually is, but
no, like we're just talking about like
Asian. I'm just like, man. What have I got myself into?
Yeah, I think it describes John and Noah pretty well. You know, Noah, the swearing sailor that's like ready to go off at any moment, like a firecracker, and John's humor, like is kind of invoking chaos and whatever it said before about his humor and stuff, and then he likes literature. Talked about that as well. Which is correct. Not so much about the philosophy. I mean, I don't think he really at least reads philosophy books that often, but he reads in general. That was correct on that. I did like how it ended, though. It was talking about how that at the end of the day, you know, if you peel beneath the surface, we're literally just three friends that are talking about stories. We're navigating adulthood, which is correct, because we're all adults at this point. We're trying to laugh about the absurdities of life and kind of, get away from the normal life. That's because, like I said, we record these on Sundays, and at least for me and Noah, I mean, John, I guess, works too, but he's just in a different environment. For me and Noah, it's an end of a long work week. We were working all week, and so it's tiring, and we're, at least for me, I'm sore because I'm on my feet all day. We're trying to move past that and kind of go into a fun environment where we just get to chat and have a blast for all people to see, right? I think I love the way that ended. So,
yeah,
very, very after laughing my butt off, it was a very heartfelt ending for that section. So,
yeah.
You guys got anything else to add? Because I don't want to just jump right into the next one because I feel like you guys haven't been able to talk for very long.
I think it was it's a good showcase of who me and Noah are as people and as members of the podcast. I will say, like what you were saying about the like philosophy books, I don't own any philosophy books, but it's not like a topic that I'm like, nah, I would never read that. But, like, if I found a good one, I'd be like, nah, I'll read it. I'll see what it's about. Right. So it's not like inaccurate, but it's not 100% accurate. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, no, I agree. I thought it portrayed me and John very well. More specifically, me because I do. Swear quite a bit. Wouldn't say I'm usually on a mission to sink a ship, but you know,
sinking a ship means like you swear so often or you say so many expletives that we can't get sponsorships. Like that's what it's referring to.
Well, in that case, I've sunk a lot of ships.
Exactly. Yep. So anyway, I did find the next section. And so we're moving on to chapter 2 now. We're not going to get through this book in one sitting, by the way. In case you couldn't tell. But chapter 2 is going to be going more about, more talking about us. So for the first section, it's Ethan, the sarcastic catalyst. So this section's about me. Then it goes to, I love John's section's title. And I'm going to get to it eventually, but I love the title that it's for John. It's amazing. And then Noah is right after that. So it's going in order. Ah, me, Ethan, the perpetually sarcastic puppet master behind much of the chaos that unfolds on the Provokers podcast regarding the game shows. I'm just the game show master. My friends like to think of me as the glue that holds our comedic mischief together, but more accurately, I'm that weird I don't love this sentence. I'm that weird sticky stuff you find in older seats that no one wants to touch but can't get rid of. that's a line. When I first jumped into this podcasting whirlwind, I wasn't entirely sure what I was getting myself into. I knew, it's kind of accurate. I knew I had a penchant for sarcasm sharpened than a chef's knife and a history of awkward social interactions that could entertain a room full of cats waiting for their dinner. So what could possibly go wrong? I like to think of my humor as a well-aged wine. It's refined and complex, or at least that's what I tell myself as I ignore the fact that I probably just spilled it all over my white carpet. Damn it, the blood is so, I mean, the wine is so hard to clean. You gotta freaking, unbelievable. Sarcasm, after all, is my go-to defense mechanism, my shield against the overwhelming absurdity of life, whether it's navigating the trials and tribulations of adulthood, or attempting not to flinch every time Noah drops yet another explicit bomb in our recordings. I've got my trusty sarcastic quips ready to fire. My friends might argue that my humor is an acquired taste, much like that of a weird fruit. It's kind of like, what's the name of that? Durian? Is that the one that, like, smells horrible?
Yeah, durian.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, like every great director crafting a blockbuster, I'm thrilled to place my own unique spin on this podcasting roller coaster. To give you an insider's perspective, my sarcasm doesn't just live in a vacuum. It lives, breathes, and has its own social life within the context of our group. I tend to stir the pot just enough to keep things interesting, relishing in the hunt for that perfect comedic moment. We joke about John being bald, which of course isn't true, but that doesn't stop me from jumping on every opportunity to blast him with cleverly crafted punches. Picture this. John, blissfully unaware of how much of a character he's become thanks to my relentless ribbing. It's like being a part of an elaborate game where every laugh is a victory, and trust me, I'm like an insatiable cat, always prowling around for the next laser pointer of hilarity. Now let's talk about the unexpected tension that arises when three strong personalities collide in the magical world of podcasting. John is the brain, Noah is the heart, and I'm the slightly dysfunctional Bluetooth speaker that's static crackles just when you think you're in the groove. While leading the charge with my sarcasm, I find opportunities to push buns. Metaphorically speaking, of course. I mean, I wouldn't dream of pushing any physical buns. I've seen enough TV shows to know that that leads to disaster. But yes, my sarcastic quips serve a purpose. They act as a sort of comedic glue binding us together through laughter, deflecting stress, and at times evoking that sweet sound of silence that only comes after a particularly savage roast. I suppose my role in this cruise trio is much like that of a reckless circus juggler. Flinging jokes into the air without a second thought while my fellow performers scramble to catch them, sometimes resulting in glorious success and other times in comedic wreckage. It's a delicate balance, like trying to inhale whipped cream while your friends are blasting you with confetti. But isn't that the beauty of humor? We buckle up for this ridiculous ride knowing that very well by the end, someone, usually me, will be covered in imaginary pie and wondering what just happened. Ultimately, my sarcasm serves as both a sword and a shield on this chaotic journey. It's my way of reflecting on a bizarre world through an intentionally twisted lens, offering a fresh take on the unbearable messiness of existence. Wow, unbearable messiness of existence. The magic of our friendship lies in the ability to tease, poke fun, and at the end of the day, laugh together at a collective absurdity. What may seem like sarcasm is just the feisty spirit of the Provokers podcast, where laughter may just be the best medicine, even if the dosage occasionally stings a bit. So that is my section. Then we go on to John's section, which is called John the Bald Wonder, which is a brilliant title for that. The Bald Wonder. That's John's new nickname, Bald. The Bald Wonder. Yeah. John, the man, the myth, the Bald Wonder. Now when I say bald, I'm not talking about the kind of baldness where sunlight glistens off a shiny dome like a sugar-coated peach. No, my friend John is tragically blessed with a full head of hair that could rival that of any shampoo commercial model. Yet this hilarious misunderstanding has set the tone for one of the most iconic running gags in the history of the Provokers podcast. From the very moment we decided to launch this wild idea, I knew John's baldness had to be the first chapter of our chaotic story. John walks into the recording studio with his hair styled elaborately. Seriously, I'm convinced he spends more time on his hair than I do on preparing the content for our podcast. But instead of praising his Roos's locks, we relish the chance to turn him into the punchline of a joke. It started innocently enough, an offhand comment during a recording about how he might as well be bald, thanks to the way his hair is often styled. The reaction was, as I say, priceless. It took off faster than the cat chasing laser pointer, and soon enough, every episode became a stage for a hair-raising, pun intended, explanation of John's non-existent baldness. John's response to the bald label is about as entertaining as his humongous collection of books. Believe me, there are plenty. His deadpan delivery and unfazed attitude are impressive. You see, John has this unique ability to take a joke and wear it like a badge of honor. He regularly shows up to recordings with various bald-inspired headwear. Think beanies embezzled with humorous slogans or even a hilarious visor. John does have beanies. I've seen his, on his, Twitch, you can redeem points to make him wear a hat. There's two beanies and there's like a Santa hat, I think. There's the yellow beanie and something else. But he does have beanies, so that's true. How often do you wear beanies, John? Do you wear them in the summer, in the winter, and that's about it?
I wear them a lot in the winter, and then sometimes in the spring and fall, depending on the weather. And very rarely during the summer, because like sometimes I'm like, I don't want my head to be burnt to a crisp. And
you don't want your bald head to be burnt to a crisp?
Right.
You don't want like the sun like doing like a 90-degree angle off your head and going right to the moon and just blowing up the moon. You know, you did say you wanted to blow up the moon, like, in that one episode.
Right. You know, it's like for Marvel fans, the character Cyclops, he wears his visors to keep his laser eyes in check. You know, that's with me with the beanie.
Right. Exactly. let's see. Not only does John wear his fake baldness with honor, but he also embodies the spirit of our comedic presence. Our running gag keeps things light, making it easy to tackle heavier topics that sometimes arise in our discussions. No matter what absurdity we venture into, John shows us that laughter can erase the worries of the world. If we didn't have that constant reminder of his bald status, there would be significantly fewer viral moments and spontaneous breakdowns of laughter during our recordings. That is very true. But why did we settle on this bizarre fixation with John's head? It might be because of the remarkable juxtaposition between his serious intellect and the total absurdity of the bald narrative. It's like a comedic cotton candy, soft and fluffy in the surface, yet inexplicably dense with the flavor of wit. He's the type of guy who could discuss Shakespeare's metaphors 1 minute, and then the next second he's embracing the legendary status of his imaginary baldness. Yeah, you know, John's done that at least 15 times. You know, he'll just start talking about Shakespeare for some random reason, then all of a sudden talk about how he's bald. Like, I can count at least 15 times he's done that.
And my favorite topic of discussion is actually Shakespeare.
Of course. We can make an episode out of it. Let's see. Seriously, who wouldn't want to be the center of such chaos? John, we salute you. In essence, John's willingness to be the end of our joke serves as both a comedic relief and a reminder that it's okay to embrace our quirks. Whether he's spinning tales about mythical bald characters or taking pride in his cascading waves of hair, he escapades everything that makes our podcast so wonderfully unique. As we press on into the chaos of our recording sessions, I can't help but feel grateful for having an eternal bald wonder by my side. After all, if everyone could have a John in their lives, the kind of guy who can laugh at himself while also being the brains behind the operation, the world would undoubtedly be a brighter, albeit definitely weirder place. Cheers to cheers to John, our lovely bald hero. And that's how it ends. So, there you go. It's kind of similar to the last one where it's like, it's laughter throughout, and then it kind of ends in a very nice and heartfelt note. We'll stop there for right now, just so you guys can talk about it. What do we think about John the Bald Wonder section there?
I'd say that was pretty accurate.
Of course.
Yeah.
John, what about you, man?
I liked it. I think it is very, very funny, obviously. I think another part of what makes the bald joke so funny is that I'm not bald, and I have a good amount of hair, and so I remember telling my brother about the one that sat me.
Of course.
About the bald head joke, and they're like, that's hilarious because you're not even close to me, bald. The three of us are referring to me and my brothers. Probably have the most hair out of us.
That's hilarious.
Most hair.
Well, at least at the end of the day, you know, you're the brother that stabbed you, you know, for losing the game, you didn't lose the game, you lost your life type of thing. At least he can see the humor behind how absurd it is. Because the John's ball joke that started all the way back in, I believe it was a Faz episode, where I literally just said, "Oh yeah, I'll break into John's house and proved everyone he's bald." And I had a little bit with my editing self, and I was like, editing, Ethan, put up a picture of he put away his fake VTuber avatar, pull up the real picture of John, and it was a picture of John's head, and a crudely photoshopped bald head right on top of him, that's clearly fake, clearly, obviously, has nothing to do with anything, it's like a very obviously edited picture. And then it stemmed from there. Like, it's blossomed into a tree of bald jokes at that point. And then it eventually, because that came way before the podcast, and then eventually it came into the podcast, like, episode 5 and onward or something like that. I don't know exactly when it first popped up. But either way. So, yeah, it's been this constant thing throughout the entire thing. So it's been very interesting.
I'm curious if there's, like, a small group of people who have not seen my Twitch, and I've only been on the podcast. Only listen to the podcast, and I'm like, should I say I'm bald?
They get there and they're like, wait a minute, he must be a VTuber. He has this hair. This can't be Jeebus.
He has hair.
Yeah, just, dude. I thought you were gonna say like people that like only listen to the podcast, but they also haven't listened to the episodes where we just say that you're not bald. And so they've been fed this lie this entire time. They're like, wait a minute, you guys have said he's bald this entire time. What do you mean he's not bald?
Hey, John.
What?
I think I figured out why your brother stabbed you.
What is that?
Because you have more hair than him.
It was jealousy. It's
jealousy.
Yeah.
Okay. moving on to Noah's section. Noah, the colorful commentary. Meet Noah, my delightfully chaotic comrade who adds a splash of color and a hurricane of expletives to the Provokers podcast. Noah embodies everything that we think we know about the podcast, and then tosses it out the window like a runway train filled with paint cans. He has a unique talent for commentaries that are not only insightful, but also seared with a layer of hilarious unpredictability. Seriously, we're talking Chris Rock meets Tarantino? Yeah, I don't know who that is, but sure. A little bit of graffiti are thrown in there for good measure. I like to think of Noah as a master of conducting our cacophony of comedy. Right when you think he'll play a calm symphony, he dives headfirst into a great punk rock concert. That definitely seems like something Noah would do. Leaving everyone tangled in a mesh of laughter and bewilderment. One might say Noah has a way with words, and to that I wholeheartedly agree. But have some tissues on standby. Between his eloquent monologues about society's ills and his politically incorrect rants... politically incorrect rants. That's funny because there was an episode I listened to recently. I can't remember which one it was, but Noah was saying something, and John's like, "You're just wrong. Like, you just can't be correct or whatever." It was great. Yeah, that line reminds me of that. Which I'll be honest, should come with a viewer discretion advised label. Noah somehow finds a way to bridge the gap between passionate discourse and hilarious anecdotes. It's like watching a trained lion tamer who also doubles as a stand-up comedian. When Noah opens his mouth, you can never be too sure whether you're about to hear a profound observation, a radical idea, or a well-placed four-letter word punctuating the moment. Yeah, you know, that's correct. Whenever Noah opens his mouth, we don't know what's about to happen. It could go from 0 to 100 or 0 to 3,000 in 10 seconds. We never know. That's great. His colorful commentary doesn't shy away from the serious stuff, mind you. Noah possesses an innate ability to weave humor into the fabric of real life issues. One moment we're dissecting the latest social media scandal, and the next he's going off about how people primarily use social media to share photos of brunch, turning a mundane topic into something utterly insane. I don't think we've ever talked about, like, people Snapchatting, or not Snapchatting, Instagramming, like, though people do that a lot. I still don't understand the craze of that, but whatever.
I don't either.
I swear, there's nothing quite like hearing Noah yell, "Why do we care about someone's avocado toast when real life drama is going down at the border?" Oh, jeez. I don't think Noah's ever said that, but I feel like if we do the first part of it, why do we care about someone's avocado toast? I feel like he would say something like that.
Yeah, that's it.
We may be in the middle of a heated debate, but Noah has this magical trait that shifts the mood entirely, and all it takes is a touch of colorful flair. Yet perhaps the most captivating aspect of Noah's character is his unapologetic honesty. He doesn't hold back, and honestly, that's what makes him such a vital part of our trio. Whether it's his use of expletive-laden metaphors or his blunt observations about the human condition, Noah transcends the mundane with a voice that vibrates authenticity. He's the friend who enthusiastically tells you that you've got something stuck between your teeth while spinning a yarn about his own recent... His own recent endeavors. It's this delightful duality of humor fused with genuine vulnerability that fuels our podcast and keeps the audience craving more. But beware, give Noah the mic and you may end up with an unexpected trip down a rabbit hole. He finds himself on wild tangents far and wide, invoking laughter with his rapid-fire commentary on everything from conspiracy theories about pigeons being government spies to his theory on why stocks disappear in the laundry. Yeah, Noah, again, similar to John talking about Shakespeare, I can think of at least 15 times you've talked about pigeons being government spies. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, man. Thinking about it, I definitely have talked about pigeons being government spies like 15 times.
I know, exactly.
Let's look at that.
Our podcast sessions often feel like a game of comedic dodgeball, where Noah's colorful quips ricochet off the walls, leaving us scrambling to keep pace with the glorious chaos he constitutes. It's easy to see why comedy and chaos can go hand in hand when it comes to Noah. He's not just an integral member of a podcast team, he's the spark that ignites our collective creative canon. While I bring the sarcasm and John keeps us looking good on the outside, Noah stirs the pot, giving life to our conversations and reminding us to laugh, even when the topics run dangerously close to serious. There's a delightful absurdity in the way he approaches dialogue that not only entertains, but also makes you question the normality of our own reaction to the wild and wacky world we inhabit. In essence, Noah is a whirlwind of colorful commentary that elevates our podcast to new levels of hilarity. Holding his unfettered spirit might take a toll at times, like attempting to hold on to a firecracker that just won't stop fizzing, but honestly, when the smoke clears, we're always left with laughter and the shocking realization that he shared something profound, wrapped in the most unexpected packaging. So here's to Noah and our colorful commentator, a vibrant force of nature that proves laughter and the most valuable commodity in a world filled with the absurd. So, again, same thing. It was kind of funny throughout it, and then it kind of ends on a nice wholehearted note there. So, Noah, what do you feel about that, man? Because that was about you, so.
Well, I feel like, other than a couple inaccuracies, pretty accurate.
I mean, come on, you've talked about government spies and pigeons. You know, you talk about that. What are you talking about?
Maybe. Well, I mean, I do remember where the character, shot Martin Luther, and Wade, that was it.
Shot him in the head. I just remember that line.
Yeah, I remember a few of those now, too. Anyway, thought that was pretty funny, pretty accurate. And, yeah.
All right. John, anything to say about that session there?
No, I thought it was good. Very, very on brand for Noah. Personally, I think he doesn't talk about the pigeon spies enough. I think
he doesn't talk about it enough.
John, fine, I will.
The next episode is just called Pigeons or Spies or something. That's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we unfortunately are out of time actually already. I didn't think it was that long already, but it is. Which is sad because the next chapter is called Bald Appearances, but we'll get to that eventually.
Damn it.
The origin of the bald joke is the first chapter. That's great. Or the first section of that chapter. Anyway, so Provoker Pandemonium, we're going to return to that eventually at some point. Like I said, to me it's a hilarious book. Oh my goodness, it's great. It's just like, the fact that it just talks about John and Noah in such a creative way is like really funny to me. About John. About John being bald and having like him needing a free wig. I remember that line. But like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, gentlemen, there was an underlying point system that was going on. And if the viewers read the title, they know exactly what's going on. Or at least majority of what's going on. Because the title of this episode is Ethan Takes Away Points for Visibly No Reason. How this worked is you both started the episode with 1,000 points. 1,000 points. But every time you did something that I'll get to in a second, you lost points. There's literally no way to gain points in this episode. That's why I said when Noah was like, oh, can I gain points for going to Undertale? I was like, no, based on how this worked. But, so the reason that the episode's titled that is because here's the things that you got taken points away from. If you engaged with small talk, you lost points. If you called someone bald, you lost points. If you engaged with the topic, you lost points. If you said like or you lost points. If you laughed, you lost points. If you said podcast or provokers, you lost points. And you lost 50 points for just existing.
I think this is more than it takes John with adult facts.
So, like I said, those are the seven, I think it's seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, it's 6 main things. Existing was just a base, you lost points, because you obviously were existing still.
Yeah.
So 6 main things. So, it's gonna be interesting. So now I gotta calculate points though, because I just wrote down numbers based on who did what. Let's see, so, based on the numbers, isn't really so. You lost 10 points for doing small talk. You lost 15 points for calling someone every time you called someone bald. You lost You lost 10 points for engaging with the topic. You lost 5 points for saying like or every time, and you lost 10 points for laughing every time. And you lost 15 points every time you said podcast or provokers. So let's see here. This is gonna be interesting.
I think for once I didn't insult John and call him bald, so...
There's a couple times where you were close, but you didn't explicitly say it.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's interesting, there's one category, at least that I didn't hear. Maybe John did once and I shouldn't. I'm not gonna write it down because I'm not too sure. There's one category where no one did it, so it's gonna be interesting.
Alright.
Well, here, while I'm finishing points, you guys want to do an ending statement for the Provoker Pandemonium book we just read? At least the first two chapters?
Yeah. This was very fun, very entertaining. I hope we get to do more of this in the future, because there's, like, 20 chapters, so...
Well, I'm going to be skipping some of the boring chapters. Like, there's one about, like, our equipment and setup and stuff like that, which I know is going to be inaccurate. So I'm not going to even bother with that. There's a couple ones I was reading, like, I'm just going to skip these. But bold appearances we're getting through, which is the very next episode on that, so.
Either way, just can't wait for more of this. It was very funny. I don't care if I lost, because I could not stop laughing for most of the time.
And, John, what about you, man?
I think it's pretty cool. It's definitely funny. I like the balance of humor and accuracy of describing us.
John, would you like to hear about how pigeons are a government spy?
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty interesting topic. We could do an episode on that.
We can make an episode on
it. I'm coming after you, government.
Interesting. I don't believe it. Huh.
If it's a dial.
All right. I am shocked, that's for sure. Let me just make sure I'm adding this right. I don't want to get this wrong, because that'd be sad. Someone ended with the... Okay, I did check it quickly, because someone ended with, like, the perfect amount of points, which is really funny. All right. I can't believe I'm saying this. But there, we do have a winner. It's not a tie. Don't worry, it's not a tie. So let me just go over the basics of what I wrote down here. So, John engaged with small talk twice. So there's 20 points minus there. He's the bald one, so he never called someone bald. So he never did that. So he didn't lose any points for that. He engaged with the topic 10 times though. So he lost 100 points for that. He said like or like. I already did the math. It's whatever. It's 5 times whatever it is to get to 60. So you lost 60 points for that. So it was a good amount of times. And then laughing is what really killed him, because he did that 13 times and he lost 130 points for that. So there you go. And he never. Maybe he said podcast once, but I didn't count it because I don't recall it. He never said provokers. So but there's that. But maybe he said podcast once and I just never gave it to them. But that's fine. And Noah engaged with a small talk once. He called someone bald twice. That's when he said bald normally. There's a couple times I didn't count because he didn't say bald. He said something about his brother was angry at you for having more hair than him or whatever. I'm like, that's not calling him bald, so I'm not gonna count that. So there's that. He engaged with the topic 8 times. And then he said like or 13 times, and then he said, I didn't mark him down for saying podcast or provokers either, because I didn't hear that, so that's the category I don't think anyone ever did, unless John said it once or whatever, but like I said, I didn't count that, because I didn't hear it. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention at the time. But the points, gentlemen, is interesting. So,
okay.
John, you have 690 points, so 69-0. There you go. Hilarious, funny number. Which is pretty funny. And literally 10 points ahead with Noah, 700 points, which broke his streak. So not only did John end with 69 points, hilarious, not only did Noah win with 10 points ahead of John, so that's how close it was, but he also finally broke his streak. Noah's been on a massive losing streak for mostly his own fault, but he's been on a massive losing streak for like almost the like half a season two here. So he somehow managed to win. Maybe because Noah's just so good at like, or maybe I was gonna say he's so good at losing points, but I feel like if you're so good at losing points, you would have lost the episode, but he would have won a normal episode. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, so John, unfortunately, you did lose. You got 69 points or 6,900 points though. If not 100, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you do got a loser's streak.
I feel like that's if I had to lose it, I'm glad I got the 6.5 points.
Yeah. Right, of course. And Noah, you got a... Alright, Noah, you got a winning speech that you haven't done in a long, long time.
Let's fucking go! That's literally it.
All right.
Amazing speech.
I feel like you could have, like, you know, for your first speech in like 20 episodes, feel like you could have went a little bit better, but you know. But yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode, guys. So thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you provoked conversation, made you laugh along the way. And if you're intrigued about the book, don't worry, all will be revealed soon. So don't worry too much about that. Well, like I said, this will probably be a trilogy, because if we only got through two chapters in one episode, it's probably gonna stay the same throughout the other episodes. So, because I want to do bald appearances, and there's another one I wanted to do, and then we could find two more other ones. Maybe like we talk about the future of the Provoke, because I'm curious what that talks about, and all that stuff. So don't worry about too much about that. But you can find me or my YouTube at FlapsXGamer. I've been uploading kind of sporadically because I've been so busy, but I'll try and keep uploading daily except for Saturday or for Sundays there. But we still have a catalog of 1,700 other videos for you to watch. Go check them out. You can find John at Twitch and YouTube at JeebensFeebens. You can hit subscribe or follow to be notified when he uploads or streams, and so you can go check him out over there. And you can find NoDog5434 over on Instagram, if you even use Instagram. He also runs he's supposed to run the Provoker's official account. Whether he actually does or not is a debate that we'll have at a different point in time. But he's supposed to, so if you follow it, you may or may not get told when an episode goes live. Who knows? It's a mystery. It's like a gamble. You know, it's like you walk into a casino. You don't know what's about to happen. Go check it out over there. And we have a Patreon. It's called The Provokers. Some of the podcast, obviously. We have, of course, the tiers that range from $1 to $100. The more you spend, the more you get, obviously. You can even get into, I believe, any tier you buy, you can get into our official Discord-only, our Patreon-only Discord server, where you can come chat with us, ask questions, and all that fun stuff. And then, of course, we have our extended cuts, which are like little snippet episodes, like 30 to 40 minutes episodes of us just talking about a topic and playing a game even. The original Wavelength is actually over there. There's another game that I pulled from the extended cuts that we're going to do as an actual episode because it's on the list now. So that's exciting as well. So if you want to see the original of some of these games, go check over on the extended cuts. The first five are $3 that way you can kind of dip your toes in the water, see if you even like that style. If you don't, then hey, it's $3. That's like less than a Big Mac meal. And then the rest become $5. That way you can kind of engage with it a bit more. Well, that's going to do it. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Aha, I fucking did it.